All right, go ahead and, excuse me, take your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 16. Again, as we are in this season of Christmas time, it's just a time to reflect on Christ and again what it means to us and really what it means to the world. Excuse me. But in Matthew chapter 16, we see in verse 13 is where we're going to be for just a few moments. Just going to read down through here a couple of verses. But this is where Peter confessed, if you will, that Jesus Christ is basically God, or he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And that's kind of really where I want to focus on. And that's really what Christmas is about. It's about the fact that Jesus came to this earth and he was born of a virgin. And through that, he grew up those 33 years, and he went to a cross and died. And a lot of people have missed that whole idea. They think there's a lot of ways to get to heaven, a lot of different religions, which there are. But it's not about any religion at all. It's all about the relationship. And that relationship is a personal relationship. It's an individual relationship. It's something that you have with God. And it transforms us as we continue to know him. So I'm just going to begin reading in verse 13, and I'm just going to I'll probably go through 18, but I'm focusing on verse 16 tonight. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, are one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. This was a secret at this particular time. He's saying, don't repeat this right now. That's interesting when you think about it. But he told Peter, as he told his other disciples, after Peter responded that he was the Christ, the living God, he told him he'd give him the keys. Whatever's bound on earth would be bound on earth, and whatever's bound in heaven would be bound in heaven. And what he was talking about is the mystery of the gospel. That is the key. That's the only key. And tonight, I believe each one of us, if we could speak to Jesus, or we probably even say this to ourselves and to our Lord as well, we would say to him, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And he's given us the keys. So I just want to look at this for a few moments. I'm just going to do an acrostic. I think I did this this particular one. I did one very similar to this several years, probably 5 or 6 years ago. But I just thought, well, as I was going through this passage about "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," and I thought how important that is to us. But that's what's changed our lives. That's the only reason we're here, is because he is the Christ. You know, that is a powerful statement. And Peter just didn't come up with that. He spent time with the Lord. He experienced the things that Jesus had done. He was there. He saw these things happen. And of course, that's his testimony, and his testimony is very powerful. Turn to Matthew chapter 4, if you would, just go back a few pages, and we'll just see the first meeting of Peter meeting Jesus here. In verse 17, if you'll pick it up there, we're just going to read down through a couple of verses here. But we remember Jesus, this was after he was tempted in the wilderness, and he's beginning his public ministry, been baptized already. Verse 17 says, "From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. That's an amazing thought right there. Remember, Jesus is God. He's the Christ. Peter doesn't know that at this particular time. He really doesn't know who he is. He may have heard this message, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But Jesus just walks by and says, follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. What he was telling him is, you're no longer going to be a fisherman going out to the sea and fishing, but your life is going to be transformed and changed. And it happened at that particular point. It was the beginning of the journey. Now, was he ready for that? No. Just as a person who just receives Christ as their Savior, they're not ready maybe to go to Africa or to step out and do those things. Why? Because there's the growing in grace. There's the time with God. Spending time with Jesus and learning about Him. And that's what Peter got to do. He got to see the miracles that were performed. Many of them, I listed just a few here. The wine turned to water in John 2. Where Jesus healed a nobleman's son in John chapter 4. He made a man with an infirmity of 38 years. He made him whole, just like that. Jesus, when all the disciples were there, and he had all those people, 5,000 men plus. And if you just did on a normal basis of having four in the family, that'd be 20,000. They may have had bigger families back then. Who knows? We don't really know how many people were there. Just that there were 5,000 men plus. And yet the disciples were there, and they were, send them away, let them go get some food. And Jesus was talking to us. Andrew came up with a young boy who had a couple of fishes, right? And some bread. And he saw that, and he saw what happened. And of course, 12 baskets were left over. He saw Jesus calm the storm. He saw Jesus give sight to a blind man. He saw Jesus call Lazarus to come out from the grave, and he did. Just right before our passage in Matthew 16 and Matthew chapter 14, go ahead and go over there for a second. We see this experience that Peter is having, and he's growing in faith because he's walking with Jesus. And he's seeing what Jesus is doing. He's seeing how Jesus and how people react to him. And the focus that Jesus has, because he has a purpose. And that one purpose is to come and die for sinners. But in Matthew chapter 14, we remember the story very well, where the storm, Jesus sent the disciples off to go across the other side, and the storm came up, and Jesus that night, I think it was the fourth watch, he was out there walking on the water, and the disciples were feared. They saw a spirit, and they thought, oh, that's a spirit or something. And finally he says, is that you, Jesus? And if that's you, then bid us come. And Jesus said, come. And Peter jumped out of that boat, and he started to run out. Well, I don't know if he's going to run, but he got out of that boat, and he was looking to Jesus, and he was going to go meet him, because Jesus said, come. But he's still building his faith. He's still growing. And he, just like so many of us, he looked around, and he saw what was going on, and it made him take his eyes off the Lord. That's what the business of the world does to us. It makes us take our eyes off the Lord. And as soon as he did, he no longer was walking on the water, but he was sinking. And that's what happens when we take our eyes off the Lord. We no longer are walking with him, we're sinking. But the good news is that Jesus is still there. Peter cried out, he said, save me! We can do that anytime, can't we? And Jesus reached out and took him and put him in the boat. That's an amazing story when you think about what happened. Peter was there, the other disciples were there, and the disciples, they made this statement. They said, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. So Peter's building this up in his life. He's really realizing who this is. And it comes with walking with Jesus. It comes with walking with the Christ. That's how he knows. That word Christ is Christios. It means means anointed, means the Messiah. It's an epithet of Jesus. Jesus' name means salvation. And of course, Emmanuel means God with us. This word Christ is mentioned 533 times in the New Testament. It's an an important name. Not just because of the name, because of who Christ was, the Savior of the world. And it's interesting, when you look at the Bible in the New Testament, the first verse Christ's name is mentioned. The very first verse. Turn to Matthew chapter 1. Of course, this is about Him, we know. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham." But you know what's even more interesting if you keep on going all the way back to Revelation? Look at Revelation chapter 22. In the very last verse. In verse 21. It says, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." The very last passage and the very first passage in the New Testament speaks of Christ and everything in between. That is what's so neat. The first verse talks about the lineage or proof text for Christ. The last verse really ends up with invoking the grace of Christ to all. And that's why He came, was for everyone, to all. It was Christ who came for the purpose to die. In Revelation 1:5 it says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood." It was Christ who told us that He would build His church in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. And it's Christ who's coming back for everyone. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." As we think about this time of the year, we think about what we're doing, and of course we give. Why do we give? It's because that's what Christians do. That's what Jesus has done. We learn to be givers. And as you think about that, the most important gift that we can give is the Lord Jesus Christ. The most important gift. It's changed everybody's life here. This is some of the kids are coming in. It changed everybody's life in this room, and it'll change anybody's life that will accept Him. And it makes a difference. See, Jesus, He didn't come as a king, although He is the king. They wanted to put Him up on the throne at that particular time, but He was not ready for that. Even though He was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, He came as a man incarnate, and He humbled Himself and was obedient. Obedient in the death on the cross. See, the Bible tells us He made Himself of no reputation. He came, and when He came, He was under the law, and He lived under the law. He lived under what these people told Him, although sometimes they didn't tell Him always the truth. But yet He put Himself under the authorities of the day. And He has shown us and taught us some things. See, being God, He became a man to walk as we walk, but without sin. Everyone in this room has been discouraged, has had trials, had difficulties in their lives. But Jesus, you could magnify that by however many people are on this earth and all the sins that each one of us carries and have had, because He bore all of those, every single one of them. I can hardly bear mine. To bear somebody else's is hard. He bore everybody's. He laid aside His deity that He might reconcile man to God. In 1 Timothy 2:5, Paul writes to Timothy, he says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." We ask ourselves sometimes, why is it so hard for people to understand that? because they really don't want to put themselves under anybody's authority. And that's really what it's about. It's submitting ourselves to God, and that's what Jesus did. He submitted himself to God. He did the will of the Father. That was why he came. And again, as I mentioned, he submitted himself to the authorities of the day. So when we see Christ, we see somebody who came humbly. But we also see somebody who came for the purpose to redeem us, to redeem everyone. That word redeem means to loose or ransom, something that comes at a price. And Webster's 1913 dictionary defines redeem as to purchase back, to regain possession of by payment of a stipulated price, to repurchase. God made man in his image, and because of man's disobedience, we lost that relationship, and that relationship was destroyed, and the only way it could be paid back or bought back was through Jesus Christ and the shed blood. That was the only way, and he had to do that to redeem us to himself. Isaiah, he shares with us in Isaiah 53:6, is all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Just like God committed his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's kind of what that says. In Isaiah 64:6, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Paul wrote to the Romans in chapter 3, verse 10 and 12, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth, there's none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. If we were left to ourselves, we would get what Romans chapter 6, verse 23 tells us. For the wages of sin is death. But I like the rest of that verse. That verse brings the hope that we can have. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, his Son. So he came to redeem us, Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. He paid the price. He bought us back to redeem us to himself. We are children of the Most High God. Wow. But then, as I think about the I think about the individuals. And what I mean by that is that personal relationship. Your mama can't save you, and your daddy can't save you. Your brothers, your sisters, they can't save you. It's an individual relationship, an individual choice. And you personally have to make that. Many times I heard testimonies of how young people had put their mama or dad had put their name in their Bible and said, you got saved on this certain such date. And so whenever they would reflect on their testimony or say, when were you saved? Well, they said, my mama wrote the date on my Bible. Really not experiencing true salvation, because mama's date on the Bible is not salvation. Salvation is putting my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not the one to judge if a person's saved or not. That's not my responsibility. That's between them and God. But God tells us there is fruit for those who are saved. And that's how we can experience salvation through other people or see salvation in other people, is by the fruit and the relationship they have with the Lord. And it is personal. Turn to John chapter 1 for a second. John chapter 1. Just read a few verses here. You could probably quote these, but in chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word. Note that the word there, in the next three times you see it, it's all capitalized. Talking about our Lord Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Second birth is of God. When we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, then that second birth is by the Spirit of God that he gives to us. Verse 14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You see, if you're in Christ, he's in you. Just like he and the Father are one, so are we in Christ become one. That's an amazing thing. Now, the completion of that's going to be when we see him face to face, because we struggle still, and he knows about that. But he also gives us something that helps us not to do that so much. So if we're in Christ, that is, we put our trust in him. In Ephesians 1:12, Paul writes that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Ephesians 2:6, and he hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That day that rapture takes place, I can't even imagine what that's going to be like. I don't know if we'll be able to say, for instance, if we were sitting here and it happened right now, would we see each other as we're going up? I'm thinking we're all going to be looking up at the Lord. I don't know. Or would we be just, hey, you made it too. I made it. Oh, we're going. I don't know. I just wonder sometimes, how's that going to be? I guess it doesn't really matter, except for the fact that we're going to be with the Lord. Right? Ephesians 2:10, Paul writes, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. The end is an individual thing, to have Christ in us. Ephesians 3:17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Galatians 2:20, Paul writes, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The psalmist says, oh, that men would praise him. Jesus Christ. So the S is for showing, and what I mean by that is we look at the Christmas acrostic, it's that he is our example. As Christians, that means Christ-likeness, then we're to follow the example that he has set before us. And he did that by first taking the form of a man and walking on this earth just like we do. Being tempted just as we are. In all points he was tempted. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. Matthew 16:24, he said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That's a lifelong learning process, to learn how to do that. And that's what Peter was doing when he was walking with Jesus. He was learning how to do that. Because remember, after Jesus went to the cross and was buried and they couldn't find him, what did Peter and John do? They went fishing. They went back to the old ways, didn't they? Because they didn't quite understand things. He was still growing. He's still learning. In John 14:6, Jesus, speaking to Thomas specifically, but his disciples as well, he told them, he says, "I am the way, the truth, and life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me." And he told us that this S for showing is that we, like Jesus, would be changed. We were predestinated to be conformed to his image, that as we are this new creature in Christ, things change. The old things are going to go away and all things become new, he said. And then we learn to follow him. The ambassadors, last week their verse was, well, I think they had to say it today. Last week was a John 10:27, where it says, "My sheep hear my voice, I know them and they follow me." And it's interesting, talking to young boys, tonight especially, he was a little interesting on the way. I went and had the opportunity to pick up Ben and Henry, and Ben goes to me, "Pastor, I read Psalm 8 and Psalm 9 today." And I said, "Well, that was great." And he started telling me what it was all about. And I thought, boy, this is what I want to hear. I was really excited, to say the least. Why? Because he was showing us what Christ would want us to do. The T is for total. When with Christ, it was all or nothing. He didn't come and decide halfway through it, says, "Well, you know what, I'd like to get out of this." Although in the garden, he struggled with that, didn't he? But he kept saying, and he was focused, "Not my will, but thine be done." You know, we're tempted to do things that we shouldn't. That's where we, like Jesus, can rely on the Spirit of God that indwells us. And we can say and call on God and says, "Not my spirit, or not my will, God, but yours." And allow the Spirit to help us to make our decisions and give us wisdom. In 1 Corinthians 3:11, he says, For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. In 1 John 3:16, he says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." Galatians 1:4, "Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father." It was a total commitment. It was everything. And he did that for me, the individual Bruce Townsend. But also his mercy. You know, today there are many people who have rejected Christ. Many people out there. I've heard people say, "Well, they've heard it. Wash our hands of them." I'm glad Jesus didn't wash his hands of me. I heard it many times. And if someone had said that about me, "Well, he's heard it. Just don't bother." I'm glad somebody kept bothering. Somebody kept preaching. Somebody kept sharing. Because it finally hit home. And that's God's mercy. Yes, it is God who draws us. But he uses the messenger to do the drawing. And that's the word of God, and we have that. Titus 3:5, Paul writes to Titus, "It is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." This mercy is Christ's compassion on a sinful and wicked world. And it is a sinful and wicked world. I'm glad God doesn't give us what we deserve. That's his mercy. I'm glad he came up with a plan to do something for us. In Psalm 103:17, he says, "But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto the children's children." The mercy of God is experienced from the saving grace of Jesus Christ. When you put your faith and trust in him, it will change your life. It'll make you into something that you were not. And if it didn't, then something didn't work. The A is for as. As in is a Greek word, means just or just as, that. And it's used many times in the Bible. It's a small word. But in verses like these, it's important. In John 6:57, as or that the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, that's weird, isn't it? So that he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. John 10:15, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. John 15:9, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. In John 20:21, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. You know, Christ is as the Father, and that is, he is God. He is God. The Christ, the Son of the living God, Peter said. S is for the Savior. It's what Christmas is all about. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, and he shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Luke 2:10, 11 says, the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. He came for that one purpose, and that was to redeem us from our sins. That's what Christmas is all about. It's about the birth of a Savior. When the Samaritan woman at the well went to tell others that she had met Jesus Christ, in John chapter 4, verse 42, it says, and said unto the woman, this is what they responded. They went to see him, they responded, now we believe not because of thy saying, talking to the woman, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. We need to hear Christ ourselves. How do we hear Christ ourselves? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. You know, many people today don't know who Christ is, don't know why he came. And as I think about this time of the year, we need to be like Philip, the deacon. When the Spirit spoke to him, he went to that chariot. There was somebody who needed to know, somebody who was seeking God. We don't know necessarily who that is, but when the Spirit speaks, we ought to react. And I'm finding more and more the Spirit speaks when I'm out at shopping or out and about. I see people and I think about people and I wonder, do they know? And so I try to make it a point as much as I can, and I'm guilty of not doing this like I should, is that people know that God loves them, Jesus died for them, God has planned for them. And then try to give them a track and say, hey, there's, you know what? I think 99% of the people I've given that and said that to so far have said thank you. Some of them have said, that's made my day. A couple didn't want to do or have the track, but that's okay. That's their choice. But when Philip, he went to that eunuch, it says, and Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, this is after the eunuch saw the water, he said, thou mayest. And this is what the eunuch said. And these are words we all like to hear from somebody. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, because it changed his life and it will change ours. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for the Word of God. We pray you continue to use it in our lives and help us to use it in other people's lives. For we know the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even dividing the asunder of the soul and spirit and the joints of marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. We don't know what other people are going through right now, but we know that you have the answer. And Father, help us to be able to present that. Give the reason of the hope that's in us. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.